I could tell of the story when the thousands were fed, when he lifted the sick, when he raised up the dead. I could sing of the others like the blind made to see, but I'd rather tell you what's happened to me.
I'm saved through the uttermost, and I know that I am washed in the blood of the precious Lamb, through the Father, through the Son, through the Holy Ghost. I'm saved through the uttermost.
Once I was lost, but now I am found. In the book of life, my name's written down. Now I'm part of the family. I'm a child of the King. This is my story. This is my song to sing.
I'm saved to the uttermost, and I know.
Must be forgiven to make heaven your home. The good life you're living won't do it alone. So trust in the Savior, and He'll save you today. And with blessed assurance, you too can say,
I'm saved to the uttermost. Through the Holy Ghost, I'm
crimes he had not done, David ran from King Saul. He once was loved, but now was hated for no fault of his own. Discouraged, defeated, living in the unknown, his life fell apart and all hope was gone. But David was reminded of God's faithfulness. As he saw the giant's sword, he felt the Lord's hand in his. His mind went back to the victory of his past, and all he could say was, "There is nothing like that." When the giant paced out on the field with his sword and armor on, but David came in the name of the Lord, so he sang the victory song. When he raised his slingshot up to aim, and the giant fell right down, the enemy then fled in fear, and he won the victor's crown. There is nothing, nothing, nothing like that. For crimes he had not done, Jesus was crucified. He once was loved, but now was hated and sentenced to die. As he hung there on that cross for all the world to see, he shed his blood on Calvary's mountain as he died there on that tree. But on that third day, the stone was rolled away. Death could not hold him captive in that grave. He rose up from the dead, and at the Father's throne he sat. And I'm here to tell you, there is nothing like that. When they mocked him and they beat him, and his blood came pouring down, but the wrath of God was satisfied, 'cause he sent his son to be a sacrifice. When they placed him in a borrowed tomb, and they sealed it with a stone, but he won the victory over death, so you and I could be his own. There is nothing, nothing, nothing like that. There have been times this world has gotten me down. Trials and tribulations have turned my life around. Circumstances may be waiting that I know nothing about. Fear and doubt have entered in and took away my shout. But I just remember whose arm I'm leaning on. He has never failed me, and he will not forsake his own. He is always leading me through life's troubled path. I can't explain his love for me, 'cause there is nothing like that. When the tears were flowing uncontrolled, and I felt so all alone, he would meet me right there where I was, and he would hold me in his arms. When the prayers I prayed seem unanswered, and our sinners walk the aisle, he works it out for for my good, just like he promised that he would. There is nothing, nothing, there is nothing like that.
Bibles with me, if you would, to the book of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament, chapter number 6, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, just for a few moments tonight. I don't think I'll be long tonight. You say, well, man, we've heard that before, but I really don't feel like that I am. I got a real simple thought that I want to share with you, something that's not new, but the Lord just sort of reminded that of me yesterday, and I didn't know exactly where we're going to be tonight, and this is where we are, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. Hope it will be a help. Hope to be a blessing to you. I have no idea who's listening on the telephone. We're thankful for that channel. We're thankful for those who listen by way of the live stream and the Facebook and also the Podbean. There's several that listen exclusively to that. And so we appreciate the opportunity that we have to minister unto folks throughout. And I believe eternity, only eternity will tell, Brother Harold, the folks that it makes the impact to. There's a lot of folks that hear, but they really don't hear, if you know what I'm saying. But there's some that do and some that get it from time to time. And I praise the Lord for it. We may never see it on this side of eternity, but I'm telling you, I believe we're laying up treasures up in heaven through the ministries and the outreach of the church. You know, it's expensive to minister in the day and hour in which we're living. Can I get a witness right there? But you cannot put a price tag on a soul. You think about the finances that go out for missions and radio broadcasts and everything that we do with the track ministry and different things and with the internet and all that. And the CDs, I have no idea what all that costs. Appreciate Brother Josh and all them back there getting all that done. Sister Donna and whoever else that I just forgot about that makes it all possible as we plow through. You know, it's expensive, but I'm glad that the expense has been paid once and for all on Calvary's cross. Folks can be saved. It's our responsibility to divvy it out and whatever means possible. To 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, if you found your place tonight, if you could stand with us in honor and reverence to the reading of God's Word. I've often said, I'm not going to say I'll never do that. I found out you better not ever say I'll never do that, because that's what you'll end up doing. And there is one of these churches over in Surrey County, not too far from Level Cross, Brother Brandon, called Corinth. I don't know if it's Corinth Baptist Church, but it's a Corinthian church. And I don't know that I'd want the church named Corinth. You say, why is that, preacher? Well, when you study through Corinthians, they had a lot of problems. They had a lot of issues. But you know what? The more I think about it, they're really not much different than we are, Brother Danny. We got problems too. We all got problems. We got all issues. Some folks like to put on that mask and tape and that spiritual makeup and try to cover things up. But we all got issues. We all got problems. And I'm glad the Lord pinned down some things that'll help us. And there's a couple questions here that are mentioned here in the Word of God. And notice here, 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, the Bible said in verse 19, what? There's the question. Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now let's pray. Father, it's about God in your presence, Lord, again tonight, saying thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in your house. Lord, on this Sunday evening, God, it's been a great day, Lord, you've given to us. Thank you for the good fellowship this morning. Thank you for the good singing tonight. And I thank you for the precious Word of God. And I pray that you'd help this feeble preacher now to empty the message of the hour. God, I pray that I'd be obedient to what you've laid on our heart. Speak to every heart here. If there's one lost, I pray that you'd save them. One that just needs some help, Lord, from another world. God, meet that need. Help me to decrease now that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. We're going to go ahead and thank you and praise you for what you do. For we ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people see you. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We read this text here, and oftentimes when I'm preaching through on the pneumatology, or which is a study of the Holy Spirit, these are some of the verses that we would run into where it makes reference to the Holy Spirit. But tonight I want to preach on a thought that may seem a little bit strange, and I hope you'll get it before we get done. I remember several years ago, in which I've probably shared this at some point or the other, but probably numerous times at this point, as long as I've been at Faith. But when Christy and I were first married, probably within that first year, we lived right across from Friendship Baptist Church, Brother Harold, and lived in a little single wide trailer. And one day we went to work, and I don't know, we usually left most time by 8 o'clock. We were gone, And I was the first one home because I got off at 3. And I remember pulling up into the driveway, and just as soon as I did, Malachi, I looked, and I seen the front door was standing. Now, the screen door was closed, but the front door was open. I thought, well, Christy has left the door open when she went to work. And so anyhow, I went and I opened the door. Once I did, I seen a big old footprint on the front of that door, that it, and the jam had monkeyed up where the door had been kicked in. And I went in and found out, of course, there's a lot of stuff got stole in the house right there on the main road. And I don't know if you've ever experienced having anything getting stole, but man, that's a bad feeling, ain't it? I mean, it's a rough feeling to know that somebody's come in and has violated your space. They've seen everything that you got. You're thinking, man, when are they going to come back? But it's amazing that folks can just steal stuff and it don't bother them. But think about this. A lot of folks steal some material things, but have you ever thought about stealing something from God? It happens all the time. Folks rob God. You say, well, wait a minute, preacher. You preaching on tithing? Oh, I could. But in Malachi chapter 3, we know in verse number 10, he said to bring you all the tithes in the storehouse. There may be meat in mine house, approve me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts. If I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, there shall not be room enough to receive it. You go back to verse number 8, and God laid out a righteous accusation that the nation of Israel had robbed God of tithes and offerings. So there's folks that probably still rob tithes and offerings today. That first fruit belongs unto the Lord. And if you want to hoard that up, well, you're robbing God according to the Word of God. But that's not what I'm focusing in on tonight. I ain't talking about robbing in the material sense, but there are ways that you and I'm talking to the believer tonight. And above all, if you've never been saved, listen, just forget all this. You just need to get saved. Get saved by the grace of God. Trust Jesus Christ. He'll forgive you of all of your sin if you'll come to Him by faith. Thank God it was enough on Calvary's cross. Jesus did pay that price for you to be saved and set free from sin. And you can punch your ticket by faith into heaven one day by trusting Jesus Christ. And if you're not saved, that's your need. But I'm basically preaching to the believer tonight, the believer that robs God. Well, preacher, how in the world can we rob God? Again, we're not talking about tithes and offerings. We're not talking about giving. But we can rob God in many different ways. But I want you to notice a couple things tonight. As we look at that question in verse 19, he said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? That word temple is a dwelling place. Our body, our physical body, is a temple or dwelling place of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God. Here it is, and ye are not your own. I couldn't tell you the people today that name the name of Christ, brother, how they say, well, I'm saved, and I know Jesus Christ as my Savior, and they do anything they want to. Well, it's my body. I've only had that happen one time. One lady told me that up there in Wilkesboro. She said, it's my body. I can do what I want to. I said, well, are you saved by the grace? Yeah, I know Christ's body. I said, well, listen, I beg to differ. It's not your body. It's the Lord's body. That's what the Bible said. And it is our body. We only get one, by the way. You better take care of it. I think I mentioned this morning somebody was living well on up in age, and they said, man, if I knew I was going to live this long, I'd have took better care of myself in my early years. We only get one of these bodies, and they're going to wire out one of these days. And one day, this mortal is going to put on immortality. This corruptible is going to put on incorruption. The Bible lets us know that in 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. But understand, we've got one body. And look at verse number 20. He said, for ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. We've got to understand, we've got to settle some things tonight, that our body belongs unto God. Well, preach away talking about robbing God. If our bodies belong to God and we don't use it for God's glory, you know what we're doing? We're robbing from God. We're stealing from God. Because you and I are a purchased possession through and by a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, notice this first thing a little bit by way of introduction, we see the price that was paid. Notice in verse 20, the Bible said, for ye are bought with a price. The word bought gives us the idea of redemption. We were bought back. We were purchased off the slave market of sin. But what were we purchased with? We sing about it all the time. We talk about it almost every service, and we will continue because really, Paul said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. I don't want any woe on me. I want to be able to, I don't want any blood on my hands. I want to make sure everybody understands and they are sure that there's only one way to heaven, and that's through and by the Lord Jesus Christ. Over 2,000 years ago, Jesus suffered, bled, and died. Why did he die? He didn't die a martyr's death. He died a substitutionary death for me and for you and the sins of the whole world, and he purchased our sin debt that you and I could never, never pay. And we're bought with a price. Of course, 1 Peter 1, verse number 18 said, "For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold received by tradition from your fathers, but the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You see the price that was paid. We see it there. For you're bought with a price. Then he said the second thing. Notice the purpose. "Therefore glorify God in your body." Now the first part of verse number 20, we see the price. The Bible said we're bought with a price, that price being the blood and the sacrificial death of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then we see the purpose. He said there, "Therefore glorify God," where? "In your body and in your spirit." Ain't that what it said? That's the purpose of every born-again child of God, is for us to bring glory and honor unto the Lord. We are to be vessels that God can use. I say this all the time, it's true. God wants us to be a tool in His tool belt. You say, "Preacher, why should I do that?" Well, we're bought with a price. Our purpose is to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus in our body and in our spirit, which are not ours. They belong to God. Why, preacher? Because He purchased us. And we think about that and think about some things, and it's fair to say we live in a self-absorbed world. That's a good definition of it, ain't it? We live in a self-absorbed world. It's about me, myself, and I. What can I get out of this? What can I get out of this? Now listen, I don't believe in all the politics of Mr. Kennedy years ago, the one that got assassinated, but he asked that question, that famous question that's echoed through history. He said, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country." Boy, I wonder how that worked today. Boy, I better get off that, hadn't I? Yeah, man. You just remember, an individual and a people becomes dependent upon a government. Man, you're in trouble. You're enslaved to that government. That's where we are, by the way. But understand this, as we look at it, we live in a self-absorbed world. It's about me, myself, and I. It's worth hitting again tonight. You know what the true definition of joy is? J-O-Y. Here's the order: Jesus, others, and yourself. But in our society in which we live, it's backwards. It's yourself, it's others, and then maybe Jesus gets the crumbs to get things that are last. I'm even talking to believers now. They get this thing out of order. And if you really want joy, you put Jesus first, then others, and then yourself, and you will experience a joy from another world, man. And thank God for the opportunity that you and I have to serve. But listen, it's His body that's purchased us, and our purpose is to bring honor and glory unto the Lord. Because the Bible said, "Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit." Why should I do that? Because everything that He has, or everything we have, belongs unto Him. I think about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 31. Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God. Everything we do ought to bring glory and honor to the Lord. Like what, preacher? Like what you listen to. Does that bring glory and honor to the Lord? Stay with me now. Don't turn me off yet. What I'm looking at, is that going to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus? Decisions I make, is that going to bring glory and honor to the Lord? Decisions I don't make, is that going to bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus? You could go on and on, even in your dress, how you dress. Is this going to bring glory and honor? Well, it's mine. No. You're bought with a price. We belong to God. Our body does. We represent Christ. You see the price that was paid. You see the purpose. And everything we do should bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. Brother Matt, this is the way the world thinks. Look at me. Look at me. Am I telling it right? It's what the world wants. They want to bring glory to their self. The Bible said, Colossians chapter 1, verse number 18, that He is to have the preeminence. And He's Jesus, that is to have the preeminence. A lot of folks say, man, I want to be cool. I want to be up in lights. Thank God for that crowd that can still shine, but they don't have to be in the spotlight. And by the way, that's what we're supposed to do in Matthew chapter number 5. In verse number 16, he said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Are we supposed to shine? Yeah, we're supposed to let our light shine. But not for us to get glory, but to reflect the glory unto the Lord. But you see the price. We're bought with a price. Then we see the purpose, because the Bible said there, therefore glorify God in your spirit and in your body and in your spirit. Then finally we see the possession. You see the price, you see the purpose, then you see the possession. We've already hit this, but notice that last part, verse number 20, which are God's. That which is a reference to our body and our spirit. Body and our spirit, the body and the spirit that we're supposed to bring glory and honor to the Lord with, they are His, which are God's. As New Testament believers, we belong to God. God owns us. And again, we don't bring glory and honor to Him in our body and in our spirit. We steal and we rob from God. Does that make sense? We belong to God. God owns it. It's His. Everything we have belongs to Him. And when we don't bring glory and honor to Him, we rob from the Lord. There's some great examples in the Bible, and I'm not going to go over there, but you remember, and I can't remember, I want to say it was Herod that was eaten with worms. You remember when he didn't give God the glory? Remember that in the book of Acts? He didn't give God the glory. He gave a great speech, and everybody said, man, that was a God. And he didn't refute that. He soaked up all that glory and didn't shed it on the Lord. And he died instantly and was eating the worms. Why? Because he didn't give God the glory. Can I remind you, we serve a holy God. We serve a jealous God that ain't going to serve second fiddle to anybody else. He ain't going to play second fiddle to anybody else. He's going to be front and center. You say, well, man, that's awful demanding. Hey, He gave we live, we move, we have our being because Him, everything we have belongs to Him. Our redemption belongs to Him. It's the least we can do is to bring Him glory and bring Him some honor in our body and in our spirit. But there's three questions I'd like to give you tonight on this thought about robbing God. We see the price here in our text in verse 20. See the purpose of that, of course, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit. We see the possession, which are God's. It all belongs to Him. And when we don't bring it, give Him glory and honor, then certainly we're robbing God. But think about these three questions that I've jotted down, and I really want you to soak these in. Are the things I'm living for worth what Jesus died for? Are the things that I'm living for or are precious to me, are they worth what Jesus died for? Now, I'm talking about tangible things that get in the way of us bringing glory and honor to the Lord. Are those things, the things that we are living for and we love the most in life, and we think about, are they worth what Jesus died for? Now, everybody ought to chew on that. In our materialistic world, I hit on the church in Revelation 3. Of course, I believe that's the age in which we're living, the Laodicean church age. Again, their statement was, we're increased with goods and we have need of nothing. And Jesus said, you know, it's not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. That's the age in which we are living in today with material possessions and material wealth, and we better get it, and we better understand. We better ask to ourselves, are the things that I'm pouring all my time into, all my effort into, all my energy into, all my finances into, is that really worth what Jesus died for? I believe all of us probably have some check marks in some areas in our life. I know this preacher does. If you're not careful and you don't put a guard against things, man, even that phone will become more valuable. Amen. Amen. Or that computer, that job, that recreation, that hobby, whatever it may be, you could throw 1,000 things out there. And think about this, anything you serve more, anything you love more, anything you worship more than God is an idol. An idol is something that takes the place of God. Did you know children can do it? Everybody understand me right there? Do you know children can become an idol? They sure can. Well, God gave me that gift. Yes, He did. But just understand, don't put them in front of your relationship with God. Amen. You'll be glad you didn't one day. Just understand and thank God for those gifts. I'm not saying being ugly to those kids at all. I'm just saying certain things. A fishing boat can become your God. Amen. A baseball bat. Amen. A ball glove. A ball. A golf club. A deer stand. A shotgun. A bow and arrow. A fishing rod. You could go on shopping trips. I'm just saying. I didn't want to leave y'all out. But understand, certain thing, anything that you love more, worship more, and serve more than God, you might as well go ahead and call it what it is. It's an idol. And are the things that we're living for and the things that are most precious to us, are they really worth what Jesus died for? That's a good question to ask. Number two, think about this question. Do my eyes, my ears, my mouth, feet, hands, mind, and heart bring glory to God? Good question, ain't it? Well, why is that important, preacher? Well, we're trying to determine if we're robbing God or not. Does our eyes, does our ears, does our mouth, does our hands, do our feet, does our mind, does our heart bring glory and honor to the Lord? If it don't, we're robbing from God. According to the Word of God. Why? We're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body, in your spirit. That's the purpose. Which are God's. It's His possession. And when we don't do it, Brother Brandon, we steal from the Lord. Amen. Sometimes it'd do us better to think a little more thoroughly about things that we do. Decisions that we make. You know, here's the thing. God gives us a free will, and we're free to choose whatever choice we make. But here's the thing. Once we choose that consequence, we can't choose, or once we choose that whatever we're doing, we can't choose the consequence that may come our way. Does that make sense? God gives us a free will to make a decision. When we make that decision, if it's a wrong decision, we're not free to choose what that consequence is. You know, there's some folks make mistakes and they get killed instantly. Let's just be honest about it. I mean, there's overdoses all over. And kids, listen, and not only just kids, I'm talking about middle-aged folk. Again, the funeral homes plumb full of it. That age from about 16 on up to even 40 and 45 died at home. No explanation. Again, that's not every case. But a lot of this fentanyl and all these drug overdoses, listen, a lot of these people, they try it one time and they're dead, Brother Kevin. One time. You better leave that stuff alone. Amen. There's others that habitually abused it. It seemed like they got like a cat with nine lives. And they just keep getting by, and they keep getting by, and they keep getting by. I'll tell you why they keep getting by. We hit on it a little bit this morning in Lamentations chapter number 3 and verse number 22. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, all because His compassions fail not. Praise the Lord, they're new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. If it wasn't for the grace of God, Brother Randy, me and you both would be in hell. If it wasn't for the grace of God tonight, I'd be in the ditch somewhere, but I say hallelujah to God for His love and His mercy and His grace. But you better pay attention with your eyes and your ears and your mouth and your hands and your feet and your mind and your heart. It's a terrible thing to waste, but when you don't bring glory and honor to God, and listen, you're robbing from Him. So are the things I'm living for, things that are precious to me, are they worth what Jesus died for? And number two, are my hands and my feet, my eyes, my mouth, my ears and my mind and my heart, are they bringing glory and honor to the Lord? If they're not, then you're stealing and you're robbing from God. But this third question is this. Does my body, and I say body and my spirit both, does my body and spirit, do they magnify Christ? Do I magnify Christ in my body? Do you magnify Christ in your body? In other words, do others see Christ in you? Do others see Christ in me? If you name the name of Christ, you say, yes, I'm born again. I know Christ as my Savior. You should magnify Christ to others. How? In our body, in our spirit, with our speech. All those things should bring glory and honor to the Lord Jesus. Think about what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1. Philippians, of course, being the most personal letter that the Apostle Paul had. He had a great love for the church in Philippi. Of course, when he was in Thessalonica, they sent once and again unto his need while he was on the mission field. They sent supplies. They financed the trip for him to go win souls. And think about what he said in Philippians 1 and verse 20. So now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. Paul said, Christ shall be magnified in my body. Am I bringing magnification of the Lord to others? Am I bringing folks closer to Christ? Am I bringing Christ closer to them? You think about a telescope. And Garrett used to have this little, it wasn't a telescope, it was a microscope. Sort of the same principle. If you think about a telescope, you look up, a lot of them build those things, and you pick out a certain star, or I ain't got a clue about which direction everything, Polaris, I know is north, but you got all these stars and maybe planets, and somebody says, hey man, I want to look way up yonder at this planet or this star. And they got these telescopes now, Malachi, that'll pull it up just like as close as me to you. And it'll pull it up. What it really does is when you put it on a telescope, all that power of magnification, it brings something that's way out there, way up here. That's a good way to explain that in Yadkin County English. Something that's way up there brings it way down here to where we are. Paul said in Philippians 1 in verse number 20, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body. That telescope brings something this way out yonder close to us. That's what our body should do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, we live in this world in which we live, Brother Kevin. There's a lot of folks that are a long ways away from Christ. What's supposed to close the gap? It's believers that are saved by the marvelous grace of God, that have been bought with a price, that have a purpose to glorify God in your body and in your spirit. Why should I do that? Because we are a possession. We belong to God, and we should magnify Christ in our bodies. In other words, bring something like Christ that a lot of folks feel like is way, way far away. We can bring Christ to them. That's what Paul's talking about. He wanted to magnify Christ in his body. But those three questions, good question to ask tonight. Because if we're not bringing glory and honor to the Lord, if we're not doing what we're supposed to be doing with everything God's given us, you know what we're doing? We're stealing from the Lord. We're robbing from God. As Sister Savannah comes, I reiterate those three questions. Are the things you living for, or that are most precious to you, are they worth what Jesus died for? Is your mouth, is your ears, is your eyes, your feet, your hands, your mind, your heart, is it bringing glory to God? If it's not, man, understand that you're robbing the Lord. And please get this. Does my body, my spirit, does it magnify Christ? A good way to break that down, do others see Christ in you? Or do they see chaos in you? Boy, we see a lot of that today, don't we? Do they see chaos in you, or do they see Christ in you? If they don't see Christ in you, say, hey, I'm saved, then you're robbing God. But above all, if you're here tonight and you've never been born again, listen, you can't point others to Christ until you get saved yourself. But I'm glad Jesus can make all the difference in your world. Regardless of what's happened to you, regardless of where you've been, God can forgive you of all your sin. But I tell you what I don't want to do, and oftentimes I find myself doing it, and Paul did. Greatest Christian probably lived. The Apostle Paul, church planter, greatest missionary. You think about him, Romans 7, he said, you know what? That thing that I should be doing, Brother Matt, I find myself not doing. That thing I should be doing, that's what I find myself not doing. You think about it. I shouldn't be doing this, and I'm doing it. I should be doing this, and I'm not doing it. Paul said, that's a struggle I face, and that's a struggle I face. That's a struggle that you face. You know why? Because we all made out of the same old wicked stuff. But listen, our body and our spirit belongs to God, and we're not bringing glory and honor to Him through that purpose. Guess what? We're stealing from God. Oh, I would never rob God, yet we do it most time on a daily basis. Don't have to be that way. Some of us need some help in this department tonight as we stand all over the house. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and privilege again, God, to preach your word. Lord, I've done my best, Lord, to empty myself of the message of the hour. God, help me in this department. God, we're all a needy people in helping this subject. God, I sure don't want to rob you. I don't want anybody else to rob you. I pray if there's one here tonight listening, or one listed by way of the phone or the internet, some shape, form, or fashion. Maybe they're lost. I pray, God, that tonight be the night of salvation. Help them to turn from their sin to the Savior. I'm glad you told us in your word, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But Lord, this message was catered and tailored to the believer that is already saved. God, help us, Lord, to understand that we don't need to rob from you. Help us to magnify Christ in our bodies as the Apostle Paul did. Help us to be faithful. Lord, we'll be careful to give you thanks and give you praise for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed, folks. Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service. And every second Sunday night of each month, we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God. Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" Well, first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me
except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.